Now turn your psalm book to number 30. Number 30, Alleluia, Sing to Jesus. Angels are beings of immense power. They're really nothing like what is normally thought of in popular culture. Very delicate looking beings with glow about them and the wings, and almost harmless creatures is the way that they're portrayed in most artwork. And yet, you look at the biblical picture of angels and it's something very different. They are beings that have incredible power. In one night, there was an angel that killed 184,000 Assyrians who surrounded the walls of Jerusalem. We read of men like Daniel who fell down as dead before an angelic creature. Zacharias and Mary, both when they were approached by Gabriel, shook with fear being in the presence of an angel. And the picture in Revelation is of angels in constant worship of Jehovah. We read just a moment ago, "Then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands." 10,000 in the popular culture of that time was just a way of saying a gazillion, an innumerable multitude, a number that could not be counted. And he says there were 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands of these incredibly powerful creatures worshiping God. And the clear message that John gives us in the Revelation is that angels focus their attention on God. Looking at the end of the book, we read in chapter 19 and verse 10, "And I fell at his feet." This is John falling down before this angel whom he was so impressed with in his power and his might. He fell at his feet to worship him, but he said to me, "See that you do not do that. I am your fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." And in case we did not get the message, in chapter 22, we see the same thing. "Now I, John," in verse 8, "Now I, John, saw and heard these things. And when I heard and saw, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel who showed me these things. Then he said to me, 'See that you do not do that, for I am your fellow servant and of your brethren the prophets, and of those who keep the words of this book, worship God.'" Now the practical meaning of that to these Christians is to give them courage. For them to know that these beings, these angels of immense power, and not only the angels, but all these other heavenly creatures which are so mysterious and yet so grand in the way they are described, are all bowing down to worship the one who sits on the throne and the Lamb. And so we'll read now from Revelation chapter 7 and sing number 30 together.
"After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, 'Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb.' All the angels stood around the throne, and the elders, and the four living creatures, and fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, 'Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen.'"
We will sing number 30 to the tune of "Love Divine." "The soul, Alleluia, sing to Jesus, His the scepter, His the throne. Alleluia, His the triumph, His the victory alone. Now turn to number 370. Number 370, Jesus shall reign. In the book of Daniel, we read about this vision that Nebuchadnezzar had of this great image encompassing the four world empires that will rise and fall before the kingdom of our Lord shall come, that rock that was cut without hands that shall come and strike the image, and the image will be destroyed, and this rock will grow into a mountain that will fill the earth. Of course, that representing the kingdom of the Messiah. And then Jesus, in one of his parables, talks about a mustard seed, which when it is planted, though it is very small, becomes this great tree in which even the birds can come and nest in its branches. And of course, that was speaking about the kingdom of God. To these Christians in the early days of the kingdom, perhaps that was hard to see or even believe. Such a small number and so weak in many ways. And yet we know that exactly what Daniel prophesied has come true and what Jesus predicted in his parable has come true. Because the sun never sets on the kingdom of God. There are literally believers around the earth in all the four corners of the earth. And so we'll sing number 370 after we read here from Revelation chapter 11.
Then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, "The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever." And the 24 elders who sat before God on their thrones fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, "We give You thanks, O Lord God Almighty, the One who is and who was and who is to come, because You have taken Your great power and reigned."
Number 370. You are thinking about the fact that as we sing these songs of praise to God, that we are not alone. I hope you realize that we are simply blending our voices here in this small building with the voices of an innumerable company of heavenly hosts in praising our God. The next song we're going to sing is number 515. The message of this song on Zion's glorious summit is that, in fact, we are not alone in our worship of the great God of heaven. The next song, though, that we will sing after this, Theophany, not only pictures us worshiping God with the heavenly host and the worship of God in heaven, but thinks even to the times when we, in private, go before the throne of God. And so let's read now from Revelation chapter 14, and we'll sing these two songs.
Then I looked, and behold, a Lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with Him 144,000, having His Father's name written on their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven, like the voice of many waters, and like the voice of loud thunder. And I heard the sound of harpists playing their harps. They sang, as it were, a new song before the throne, before the four living creatures and the elders, and no one could learn that song except the 144,000 who were redeemed from the earth.
Let's all be standing now as we sing number 515.
On Zion's glorious summit stood a numerous host redeemed by blood. They hymned their King in strains divine. I heard the song and strove to join. I heard the song and strove to join. Hear all who suffered sword or flame for truth or Jesus' lovely name. Shout victory now and hail.
Please be seated.
This song is not in our songbook, so we'll sing from the screen overhead. Do mi so.
above the seraphim sounds an everlasting hymn. Voices echo through the hall and shake the temple wall. Living creatures bless the King.
Turn to number 57. Number 57, awake and sing the song. As I mentioned at the outset, the worship of God is not the only worship that is pictured in the book of Revelation. Over in Revelation chapter 9, we read about a worship that is contrary to the worship of God. In verse 20 we read, "But the rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent of the works of their hands, that they should not worship demons and idols of gold, silver, brass, stone, and wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. And they did not repent of their murders or the sorceries or their sexual immorality or their thefts." The other worship that is pictured here is not just talking about idolatry, although we understood that in the first century there were people who would bow down to graven images. This worship that is described here is talking about anyone who does not worship God. And so it's speaking to us. And this worship is expressed not only religiously, this worship primarily is expressed in the way that we live our lives. The reason they were worshiping Satan or the beast was because they did not repent. And so though we raise our voices in praise to God, singing holy, holy to the Lord God, if we live our lives for the devil, we're in this category here. Over in chapter 13 of Revelation in verse 4. "So they worshiped the dragon who gave authority to the beast, and they worship the beast, saying, 'Who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him?'" A challenge to the God of heaven. In verse 8, "All who dwell on the earth will worship him whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world." There is a clear dividing line between those who worship God and obey him and those who are worshiping the beast. And you read in the rest of Revelation, we see that all those who worship the beast, all those who worship the God of this world, that their judgment will be just, and that their judgment will be eternal damnation, separation from God for an eternity. And so the question that all of these songs and all of these scriptures ought to impress upon our minds tonight is that we want to be among those who are worshiping and honoring God, not just with our words and with our formal worship, but most importantly, in the way that we live our lives. Let's read now from Revelation chapter 15, after which we'll sing number 57.
Then I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them the wrath of God is complete. And I saw something like a sea of glass mingled with fire, and those who have the victory over the beast, over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, standing on the sea of glass, having harps of God. They sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, in the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the saints. Who shall not fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy, for all nations shall come and worship before you, for your judgments have been manifested.
Number 239, Holy God, we praise thy name. We're only going to sing the first and second verses of this song.
Oh,
Now turn to number 19, number 19. All hail the power of Jesus' name. The book of Revelation ends where it begins. It begins by picturing the worship of God and the worship of the Lamb in the midst of the throne. And it ends, beginning in chapter 19, with the praise to the victorious Lamb who has overcome all the enemies. And so we'll read from Revelation chapter 19, and then we'll sing number 19.
After these things, I heard a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven, saying, Alleluia! Salvation and glory and honor and power belong to the Lord our God. For true and righteous are His judgments, because He has judged the great harlot who corrupted the earth with her fornication, and He has avenged on her the blood of His servants shed by her. Again they said, Alleluia! Her smoke rises up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God, who sat on the throne, saying, Amen. Alleluia. Then a voice came from the throne, saying, Praise our God, all you, His servants, and those who fear Him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, and as the sound of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give Him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Then he said to me, Write, Blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, These are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, See that you do not do that. I am your fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him was called faithful and true, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. All the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness of wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
All hail the power of Jesus' name, let angels prostrate fall, bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Ye chosen seed of Israel's race, ye ransomed from the fall. Hail him who saves you by his grace and crown him Lord of all. Hail him who saves you by his grace and crown him Lord of all. Let every kindred, every tribe on this terrestrial ball, to him all man.
and crown him Lord of all. To him all majesty ascribe, and crown him Lord of all. Oh, that with yonder sacred throng we at his feet may fall, we'll join the everlasting song and crown him Lord of all. We'll join the everlasting song and crown him Lord of all.
Turn now to 738. 738.
Do me. We will glorify the King of Kings. We will glorify the Lamb. We will glorify the Lord of Lords, who is the great I Am. Lord Jehovah reigns in majesty. We will bow before his throne. We will worship him in righteousness. We worship him alone. He is Lord of heaven, Lord of earth. He is Lord of all who live. He is Lord above the universe. All praise to him we give. Hallelujah to the King of Kings. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah to the Lord of Lords, who is the great I Am.
You'll now turn to the song of invitation that you have marked. We are all involved in this great spiritual war, whether we want to be or not. There is no neutral ground. There is no Switzerland where we can flee for refuge. We are all involved. And of course, the message of Revelation is that only those who are on the side of the Lord will be victorious. Only those who have come to the Lamb. The victory is not found in righteousness alone, man's righteousness. It's only found in the righteousness which only he can give. In Revelation, after one of these scenes where we see the worship in heaven, John asks one of the elders, John, who are these arrayed in white robes, and where did they come from? And I said to him, sir, you know. So he said to me, these are the ones who come out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Victory is only found in the blood of the Lamb. My friend, if you have not had the blood of the Lamb wash your robe so that you might be clean and white, you need to do that tonight. You need to come and accept the grace that God has offered you and become one of those in this innumerable company, worshiping God day and night, and have the hope of being with him and seeing him face to face someday, and seeing the Lamb who died for you. The only way we can receive this is through faith in Jesus Christ. And so if you believe with all your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and are prepared to confess that before men, not just with your words, but with your life, with your worship, throughout your life. And if you're ready to be immersed with Him in baptism, to die with Him, that His blood might wash away all your sins, we would encourage you to come as together we stand and sing.